Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
James, can you do Eddie Murphy's laugh?
Lucy?
That is absolute toss.
I never heard it.
He goes,
as if you've never heard Eddie Murphy laugh.
Does he not? Is it a bit more intense? That's a yeah, donkey. That's good.
Well, yeah, he played a donkey, didn't he?
He did play a donkey in Shrek, you're right.
Donkey.
All of us?
Hi, I'm Dean Windass, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovely to have you back. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Come on in, my darlings.
Hello!
Pete's here.
Hello.
James or Jim is here.
Hello.
And Luke or Lukey is here.
All right.
In the light of Spurs hammering Wigan 9-1, gentlemen, what is your favourite thrashing from the ages? Pete, fancy it?
Yes, yes I do, Marcus. Bobby Robson, first home game in charge, 8-0, Sheffield Wednesday.
Hey!
Up yours, everyone.
The most predictable...
Up yours, Luke Miller.
5 goals for...
The Republic Alan. Of Newcastle? Yeah.
For Amiobi, was it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Nigerian international, sure, Amiobi.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm. Well, later will be greater. Ishira got 5 in that game, but Luke, what have you got for us?
I'm going to go for the game, if you remember, where Chris Kamara was going absolutely mental. On
a game
Sport.
Of football.
Nil-nil. When Portsmouth beat Reading at Fratton Park 7-4.
Yes, of course.
And
the bionic hand of Marcus Hanneman had a day, didn't it?
When it went 6-4 or 7-4, Jeff Stelling went over to Chris Kamara in the crowd and he was just nowhere to be seen. Yeah. And then he just popped on and went, I just don't know anymore, Jeff. I just don't know. You tell me what the score is.
Everything's going in.
Yeah. That was a good one. So not only do you score 4 away from home and get nothing out of the game, you also ship 7
and lose Chris Kamara.
A 7-4 scoreline for the home team would suggest that, Luke. Only a 3-goal margin, but I think we can all agree it was a thrashing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Jim or James?
I'm going to go for one with a 3-goal lead as well, which was when Southampton beat Man United 6-3.
Oh, yeah?
I've mentioned this before, but do you remember the excuse after the game from Man United was that the players couldn't see each other in the grey kit?
That was the wrong game. It was when they beat him 3-1.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, well, even so, I think Southampton deserve credit for beating an invisible team.
Yeah, it's true.
I must say. But yeah, that 6-3 was incredible, wasn't it? Because it just came out of nowhere. Yeah. Well, it wasn't as if Man United were in terrible form.
That was just Southampton were perennial strugglers as well.
Yeah.
So it was a bit out
them
of
and
form.
Coventry really, really sort of lingered for years.
Do you know, I think Letizia, one of the goals he scored in that game may have won goal of the season. When he jinked, he sort of nicely on each foot, he went past and in between two players and then dinked it over Schmeichel.
Who's that?
Letizia. Hall of Famer.
Not heard of him.
Hall of Famer.
He's in your own Hall of Fame, mate.
So. Yeah.
Dean Windass. Buck up at the back, behind the old bag of cement gone hard. That's where he is.
I'm going to go for a 3-goal margin as well. It's when England beat Holland 4-1 at Euro 96.
Good thrashing that was.
It was a very good thrashing.
They sort of, in a way, England deserved to score more then.
They could have done.
Was a poor Dutch side, to be honest. To be fair,
it was
a brilliant performance
from
England, but
they're in disarray.
Clivert was playing, wasn't he?
Seedorf, Danny Blind,
Van der Sar.
Yeah, but they were tearing themselves apart.
Michael Reisiger.
Regularly do.
I remember it being an all right Dutch side.
Some of the Dutch side had already gone.
Well, I'll have them if I want them.
Wasn't that one goal that that Holland scored? Didn't that effectively stop
eliminate Scotland?
Scotland. So that was even better.
I would say Scotland's lost to England probably eliminated.
Yeah, them. But if it had stayed 4-0, Cliver didn't nip in. Yeah. They'd have gone through as well.
They would have gone through. Yeah.
Oh, it's unfortunate. But the who's having the points then, big man?
Do you know what? I'm going to give it to James.
Yes! You lied. You said you were going to give them to yourself.
No, obviously.
I got the game wrong and everything where they're invisible and I still got the points.
No, because I remember that 6-3. It was quite the hammering.
Because didn't they lose to Newcastle 5-1 a few games later as well? Because Man United got
5-0. 5-0.
5-0.
Another.
Was that the same season?
As well, is that right?
Yeah. I think it was five individual.
It was very spread out, wasn't it? Fernand scored one, Ginola scored one, and Albert.
Shearer and Albert. Five individual.
Albert!
Bloody knows his Newcastle, doesn't he, Pedro?
It was five individual scorers.
Nice. Good stuff.
Well, you can't say that about Tottenham because Jermaine got five on his own.
Amazing.
It's an unbelievable performance.
Hats off to
Tottenham. Clinical.
That's Jermaine Defoe, not Jermaine Jackson, in case anybody's new.
Do you know that, obviously, it was 1-0 at half-time, which is weird.
Yeah.
and also, I'm not joking, they could have had 15.
Yeah, no, they played out of skins. First half,
they hit the bar, didn't they, a couple of times, and I think, what's his name, Crouchy.
Yeah.
He squandered a few headers, as he sometimes does, but even Defoe missed a couple as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were very, very tight, weren't they? Defoe was absolutely on fire. It's just, I mean, David Bentley's goal, coming off the back of Kirkland's head, sort of sums it all up.
He's not going to get it. He's not going to get that goal, is he?
No, yeah.
It's a shame because Kirkland actually had a good game.
Mm. He did. Everyone in the Spurs shirt played well. I mean, Aaron Lennon was superb. Yeah. Defoe was superb. Crouch was very good. Palacios was the beating heart of the side as he sort of proved himself to be over the last month or so, or even longer even. And Cranko played excellently. Mm.
Yeah, he did.
It was just one of the thing is, what I will say, you've got to caveat it slightly because for that sort of result to happen, obviously the team who win have got to play very well indeed, but the team who are losing have also got to be abysmal, and Wigan were abysmal.
They singled him out on Match of the Day, but Eric Edmund just had a torrid afternoon. He just wasn't getting close to Lennon. It was like he was scared of him.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Eric Edmund used to play for Spurs.
He did, he scored an absolute belter for Spurs.
At Anfield.
Yeah.
It was one of the best strikes you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, do you
Maybe
think...
he's still on the books.
Yeah. Do you think that... you know, immediately after the Brazil friendly, Wright Phillips is not getting the best of reviews from the Ramble included. Yeah. And then Aaron Lennon puts in a performance like that.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody could ever sort of imagine that SWP would take any sort of position above a man who can put in such a performance. It was brilliant. It was fantastic. But, I mean, we were talking about Woodgate for England.
Yeah.
I think he was at fault for their goal, to be honest.
Massive handball.
Yeah, it was massive handball. But then also, I think, a handball from Woodgate as well, because I think he punched it and it was on
there. Yeah. We'll let him off that one.
But look, you said previously that you said Aaron Lennon can't cross a ball, but he had about four assists when
he definitely played well at the weekend. I don't know if I was.
I'm not saying he must go to the World Cup. No, obviously, it's one game, but
I don't know if I was quite that harsh. Maybe I was. But he, I know, I said there are question marks over his final.
Well, your precise words were, "Well, he can't cross a ball."
Okay,
his crossing has let him down in the past. Let's not shy away from that. But obviously, he's improving it, which is brilliant news.
Well, he's listened to me and he's improved, and I think that's all credit to him.
And that's all you can ask for.
Well, that's the trend, isn't it?
And to me,
have you seen Wigan? The Wigan players are personally refunding all the fans.
They are
400 of them.
Both the fans.
Yeah, Mario Melchiot, the captain, said that we feel that as a group of players we badly let down our supporters yesterday. You did.
Yeah.
And this is a gesture we have to make and pay them back for their tremendous loyalty.
They're playing Sunderland next week as well. That's not great.
What they should do is they should only give the money back to the fans who stayed right till the end, because there's only about 40 of them left by the end of the year. But no, to be fair, it was a superb performance. And I think, to pick on what you guys are saying about England, I think that Lennon should be, whether he is or not, I'm not sure, but he should be ahead of SWP I mean,
would you have Jermaine Defoe on the plane?
He's on the plane, isn't he? He's got to be. That's cemented his place on the plane. I don't know if he'll start again.
He's the best finisher in the country at the moment.
He could do what people are sort of calling for Michael Owen to be in this squad to do. Do you know what I mean? He's a real, real good finisher. I'd like to see him and Rooney sort of get a proper couple of games together under their belts. I don't know if we're likely to see that anytime soon. Obviously there's not a lot of games before the World Cup, but
there's only one more game left until then. That's a squad.
The friendly, that's right. Jimmy Bullard scored again. Lovely penalty.
It was a great penalty, wasn't it?
Another good game. Hull 3, West Ham 3.
How about Bullard and David Dunn in the middle of the park for England?
Yeah,
I was
Dunn's
moving
a
on
great
to that.
Form, isn't he?
Moving on to that. Well, David Dunn, scored an absolute beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
The way he kind of checked his kind of balance and the way he went to strike the ball, and then it was almost sort of Bergkamp-esque.
He ran the length of the pitch to get on the end of it.
Yeah.
Let's not forget how long he'd run.
Let's not forget how long it took him.
He's a funny one, David Dunn, because he was quite a promising young player.
Yeah. He's had his injuries.
He has had his injuries.
Knee problems again.
But I think, if I'm right in remembering that, a lot of people thought he could really go on maybe push into the England squad. This was a few years ago, of course. He has been unlucky with injuries, but I mean...
That move to Birmingham didn't really work out. I think he always wanted to go back to Blackburn. I think he probably regrets leaving him.
Souness didn't get on with him, so he sold him against his wishes, didn't he?
Right, and it was for a lot of money as well. I think it was for over £5 million, if I remember rightly.
Mm. He looks quite a likeable fella, David. It looks like he enjoys his football.
He also looks like he's just going to be a manager. He sort of talks like a manager already.
He's got that Desperate Dan look about him as well. I think he's a good player. Obviously, the England squad is a bit too...
Yeah, of course.
Probably a leap too far for him. But yeah, he's a good player. I'm pleased for him. He's a hard-working player. And he's also a Blackburn fan, isn't he? So he's a Blackburn boy through and through. So he must be loving it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Ricketts on goal.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Superb. A mate of mine was arguing that it wasn't the goalkeeper's fault. What do you guys think on that?
Well, Sam Ricketts, you saw Sam Ricketts saying, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
Because Jeskalainen was saying, I called for it. And Ricketts did turn around to him and say, I couldn't hear you, like that. And actually made the gesture, I didn't hear you. So it's just obviously a breakdown in communication.
I think Lee Dixon said on Match of the Day too, that what is the goalkeeper coming out for?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got to try and tackle Benny McCarthy, isn't he? If
McCarthy's right on him and he's outside the box.
There was a weird bit on Match of the Day too, actually. It came...
Is it too good, too bad, or mental, that bit, isn't it?
Oh, crazy. but they were promoing some programme, and then it came back in the studio, and J.J. Charles, I'm sure he let out... He dropped the F-bomb. I'm sure he did.
Oh, there was a... I didn't hear the swear word.
And he F'd me off or something. He's F'd me off before.
Oh, really?
I heard something. I didn't hear
I'm sure he dropped the F-bomb.
All the kids are doing it, I swear. Everyone's doing it now.
Yeah, he's been on... Following fucking me about. Plenty of international rugby on the BBC next Saturday.
Another home draw for Liverpool. Good point at home for them. Another draw for City. I say that pretty much every week now. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I liked Adebayo's header. Always head down. Head down.
Yeah, classic. It was very good for Liverpool to leave him unmarked and not have a man on the post.
It was very
charitable.
Yossi Benayoun was sub for a sub as well, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, feel bad for him. He's one of their best players.
Scored again.
And I tell you, this all adds up to make it an even better weekend for Tottenham, because obviously Man City and Liverpool dropped points. Arsenal lost. I think Arsenal will probably finish comfortably above Tottenham, if I'm honest. But it's
Liverpool you've got to worry about, isn't it? Top four wise.
Yeah,
if
Arsenal.
They carry
Arsenal
on like
will,
this.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Arsenal will be fine. I think they'll finish third or above.
I don't think they'll win next weekend against Everton.
Who?
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
I think they will personally. I think they'll win that and sort of go on a bit of a run.
They scored that first goal and then they just sat back and just invited Man City back onto them. Yeah, it was weird.
They're not playing any sort of confidence. That's the problem.
Well, I've actually tipped them to beat Liverpool.
Everton.
Yes,
have you? Oh, in our Betway prediction.
In our little predictions,
we're doing a derby special this week. We're doing
the treble.
Yeah, we're doing a Liverpool derby. We're going to do the
Arsenal Chelsea
El Clasico and the Arsenal Chelsea London derby. Yeah.
I very nearly won my treble last week, but bloody West Ham let me down.
I've gone for those three games. Barca let me down as well. Fucking drew, didn't they? I've gone for three draws: Everton, Liverpool, Barcelona, Real, and Arsenal, Chelsea.
For draws in Arsenal, Chelsea, and the El Clasico, but I think Liverpool will win.
Pete, if I remember correctly, you go on for Chelsea to win, Liverpool to draw, and Real to beat Barca.
It's a controversial one.
Everyone's dead in Barcelona. It seems everyone's injured.
Yeah, they are struggling as well. We're not struggling.
Because we're going to go and watch them against Inter.
We are.
By the time you hear this, I'm taking my boots along.
I watched Real versus Racing Santander, and it was a really good match actually. The fella is it Benzema. He scored this some player flicked on, and it was just like the Ibra goal. It was disallowed. It was so disappointing. There was a couple of really good disallowed goals in that match.
Well, they've gone top for the first time in about 2 years, I think.
Higuain again.
A goal that wasn't disallowed was, of course, Willem Gallas's goal against Ireland, which put them through and Ireland out of the World Cup. We've all heard the opinions,
yeah.
Apart from the Ramblers' opinions.
Well, you sort of have, because I write a bit of a blog on it.
Well, yeah.
Which I think literally tens of people have read.
And I'm one of them. And it's a bloody good blog, that.
Thank you very much.
It was.
So.
Roy Keane had an opinion.
Mm. That surprises me.
He did. He was fierce.
He was very forthright on his opinions.
Did he use it as a stick to beat the FAI with? Yeah. Sounds about right.
Cleared
but
the
they love yeah. each
cleared
other.
Cleared the fucking butt.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a note to any journalist that may be listening: is turn your bloody phones off.
Yeah. Oh. We'll put this on Ramble Tube.
I don't know if anybody saw this, but it's been all over them internets that Roy Keane, we'll talk about what he said, but one of the journalists' phones went off during, and Keane was just giving him daggers.
Yeah.
Mm. And he's like, you can turn that off? He was like, then the journalist was like, no, I was just going to wait for it to ring off.
Yeah, mental.
He's like,
Keane won't have a nap.
He was like, that's twice it's gone off. No, manners.
Yeah.
He just went and shook his head.
Yeah.
Manners.
It's terrifying.
I mean, at the risk of sort of incurring the wrath of many, many Irish fans of football, I do think Roy Keane's got a lot of valid points in his press conference, because the thing that gets me about, and I'm obviously got to caveat it by saying England fans do this all the time.
Yeah, so of course.
I'm not blaming the Irish particularly. I'm sure there are a large number of Irish fans who are just a bit like, well, okay, we lost and you know, we should have done this and we should have done that. Thierry Henry's handball wasn't the be-all and end-all of why they didn't qualify for the World Cup. No. Simple as that. You know, you've got to look at Robbie Keane, you've got to look at Damien Duff. They didn't finish chances they had. Ireland didn't press home their advantage. The ball wasn't cleared properly, you know. Every other player would have done what Thierry Henry did, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not condoning or defending it.
But I think I think that at first, like everybody said, it was accidental. But it's come off his head. Oh, there he goes.
No. You can see he controls it with his hands.
No, but that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying he does... He originally it's accidental, then he flicks it up, but it's kind of... Oh, there it goes, boom, and he just... Yeah. And it's across. I don't think he's not thought about... And why on earth people have mentioned Henri in the same bracket as Maradona is absolutely unbelievably stupid.
Henri's got a lot of stick from bitter journalists going, he's clearly not the player he was, he's past it, he's rubbish, he offered no leadership, blah, 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 blah. And like, obviously I'm not defending Henri, but it's been such a sort of hysterical knee-jerk reaction just from every sort of corner, every angle has been attacked.
Well, the thing that inspired me to write the blog was that Henry Winter in the Telegraph was saying that Henri should be... Seth Blatter should personally ban Henri from the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only solution.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
what, isn't Henri talking about retiring from international football?
Well, he said he was going to, but he's not now, he said. But I think Henri was a little bit... I mean, the thing is, Henri didn't do himself any favours, not just with the handball. When he knew there was no chance of a replay, he starts piping up saying, oh, they could have a replay, you know. He knew it was never going to happen. He was just sort of a bit of lip service. I mean, if that was me and I was an Irish fan or an Irish player, I'd have found that a little bit patronising.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah. I mean, in talking to Richard Dunn at the end, obviously upset a lot of people, and understandably so as well.
I thought that was a nice gesture, actually, just having a chat to him after the end.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know. Given the circumstances, personally, I would have found that annoying if I was Irish.
I think I probably would have done as well. But I mean, each to their own. Yeah, fair enough.
No, totally. But you talk about bringing in replays and all that kind of stuff.
You just can't do it, can you? It's just where do you draw the line?
Yeah,
it would happen all the time.
What you'd have to do is you'd have to limit it to a certain amount of appeals per half. But then that's like, that system itself is open to abuse also.
Like tennis,
do you mean video replays or replaying the game?
I'm talking about video replays.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, well, it works in most other sports. I think as the most popular sport in the world, football could be leading with stuff like this, whereas it's not.
The trouble is, though, it's in tennis, it's in rugby, but that's a case of did it cross the line or did it not?
And that's a stop-start game anyway.
Yeah, did he bring him down or not?
The way I would do it, if I were in charge, which I obviously should be, was I'd have another official off the pitch watching the game. Obviously, you'd monitor everything. If something glaring happened, then you point it out. Otherwise, you know, let it go. You got to think of the referees. They get most things right. Obviously, you know...
No, you're correct in saying
if it's glaring, like, it looks like they're not doing their job. But, like, just think of how many decisions they have to make in a game. Well, they get most of the things right. I really do think it could work and that it wouldn't disrupt the game too much.
No, I think that's a fair comment. I think also, though, I found it funny when people said, oh, it's a conspiracy from FIFA. Yeah. Well, if it was a conspiracy, they would have allowed the goal that was marginally offside for France and they would have given what could have been a penalty for France when an Elka...
The criticism that's made me laugh most, that's been aimed at sort of FIFA, has been, oh, I bet a Platini will be loving this. He's French! Yeah. Of course he bloody will.
Yeah.
I liked it what Domenech said. He said, well, everybody who loves the French team is really happy about this. Well, you'd expect so.
It's quite weird. Like people like Cantona, like Ginola, they've sort of piped up and sort of said, "Oh, we are disgusted at this. It's disgraceful." Yeah. but it's kind of
it happens, man. I think the only thing that annoys me the most is that, you know, people are just so pious about it. Mm. I mean, it's like, you know, everyone, every single player has seeked to get in the vines. You bend the rules all the time. Everyone does it, you know. And Platini, who was strong, been always calling for the introduction of video referees, has suddenly been a bit quiet over the last couple of weeks, which is obviously going to happen. My main problem with the video refereeing thing is that I just think that, like you say, referees do a pretty good job, you know. The only way I can see it feasibly working, really, is the old goal line clearance thing. Is it go over the, does it go over the line? Does it not? I don't see it happening for penalties.
I think that we should just give the ball boys whistles, to be honest.
Yeah, is that right?
Because they're well placed, there's enough of them around the pitch.
Jens Lehmann wouldn't have that. Let's give Jens Lehmann a whistle.
Yeah. I'm going off to raise my children properly.
Yeah, if you had Jens Lehmann in his helicopter floating around the pitch at all times.
Yeah, good idea.
A Jens eye view of it all.
Yeah.
Tony Cascarino's piped up as well, hasn't he? God. Oh, it's a disgrace. You're not even Irish.
Yeah.
You've admitted you just lied about it.
If we carry
Your
on
Your career's a disgrace.
If we carry on like this, Tony, we'll have to replay every single Irish game you played in. Effectively.
Swansea have reached their highest league position in 26 years. With a 1-0 home win against Derby. It was a lovely goal by Federico Bassone, the Argentinian.
Yeah.
Great stuff. They could go up, you know, old Swansea.
Do you think?
I'd like that. I'd like to see Lee Trundle in the Premier League.
I think it'll be a standard too high for him, personally.
As you said.
Well, I'd like to see how he sort of progressed and sort of whether he would still do all those flicks and things.
The thing about Trundle is he's getting on a bit now.
Yeah.
And he's also not in the best of shape. I do like him as a player.
He's like 31, is he?
Something like that.
He's certainly not a young buck.
No. West Brom are into the top two with a good win over Bristol City. And I thought Chris Brunt scored one of the goals of the weekend, actually.
I didn't see it.
Lovely finish.
A ball over the top, great control, very smartly around the keeper, and just sort of beautiful stuff.
Slid it in.
It's very tight.
Yeah. Paul Hartley's got a great free kick in that match as well. There's some good goals in there.
Consolation effort, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Bristol City are 10th.
That's not bad. Which, the thing is, I was just going to say, Championship and League One, League Two are all very close.
Well, Bristol City are 10th, I was going to say, and only 8 points off the top.
The amount, when Portsmouth were in the second tier, and you still go and watch them every week when I live down there, the amount of, it's so difficult to get out of that league. Every single team could beat every other team. And Pompey were going on a run. One season they came 7th, and one season they famously came sort of 3rd and missed out on promotion by a goal. But they would go through sort of runs of winning 6 in a row, and they would just lose 2 or 3 to really sort of average side.
I mean, drop down quite significantly.
Oh yeah, it just happens all the time. It's so difficult. I mean,
it is a far more exciting league, actually, than Premiership, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're all really, really good leagues. Cause, I mean, look at... Do you remember when Ian Dowie took over at Palace? It looked like they were going to go down, and they got promoted. It's just anything can happen down
there. Well, Roy Keane at Sunderland.
Keane did the same at Sunderland.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, I'm pretty sure it's about the 6th or 7th most supported division in Europe as well.
Mm. Well, I mean, you've got to look at the sides who come down from the Premiership and then just go down again. Mm. Like, they just sort of get swallowed up by it and can't compete in there.
I'm excited about Leeds going up, and I think it probably will.
They're flying. They're flying. They're absolutely flying. They've got some great... They've done well to keep all of those players. They're doing excellently well. And to be fair, a lot of people like to bash Leeds and they like to use it as an excuse to hate them because of their sort of reputation in the 70s and stuff that's gone on. But you know, they're a genuinely big club.
Yeah.
For me, they should be in the top tier. You know,
of course they should.
No one's got a divine right, and they've people at the top level at that club have misbehaved, and that's why they're down there. But in terms of fan base, history, for the size of club, I'd absolutely like to see him back up there.
Elland Road, you know, is a Premier League stadium.
It's a wonderful ground.
What's the capacity on Elland Road? Because I was really surprised. You always forget that Spurs only played in front of 35,000 at the weekend, and it's weird.
Elland Road's getting on for 40,000.
Yeah, yeah, well, the third biggest stadium in the Premier League is a stadium of light, which is 49,000. And after that, you've probably got Anfield. But, I mean, Old Trafford and...
Or maybe City's ground. Manchester City's
that's
ground.
That's just a bit smaller than the stadium of light, I think. But Old Trafford and the Emirates are obviously the biggest. But yeah, Leeds are a huge club, and I don't think anyone could argue that. Mm.
A team that didn't do very well at the Stadium of Light on the weekend were, of course, Arsenal. Bunch of chokers, apparently, to Arsene Wenger.
Wenger was very critical of his own team, which he wasn't seen much. Jimbo, what do you think of that?
Well, they need that every now and then. He does sort of wrap them in cotton wool quite a lot, and it is good that he's sort of... You know, he's not exactly sort of tearing chunks out of them in public, but, you know, they do need... Obviously, none of us know what Wenger says sort of in training and stuff like that, but you get the impression he protects them a lot and sort of lets them believe their own hype almost a little bit, which is why you get some sort of quite slack performances sometimes. So, you know, I think it's a good positive move from Wenger, to be honest.
I like the way... I think I agree with that. I also like the way that Bent... He's got a bit of a poacher about him as well. He's not just on the shoulder of the defender, good finish. He'll get in there as well. He's got a good instinct about him.
I like Darren Bent a lot.
Unless I forget that he scored against Arsenal and Liverpool. You know, he doesn't go missing in the big games, I guess.
With the help of a beach ball.
Fortunate one against Liverpool. Yeah.
But he'll take it.
Well, I guess the Arsenal one was quite fortunate. I think it was a little bit of deflection coming in for him getting it, I guess.
Yeah. I take your point, though, Pete. He does score against the biggest
sides.
He gets
in there, doesn't he? And he just sort of... He takes those chances. Sometimes they come off someone's elbow, but you know,
people are happy to give him a benefit of the doubt a lot more because of the way he was treated at Tottenham. I think people see him as a, you know, pretty hard working player actually, and a guy who deserves his chance. And he was treated badly at Spurs, in my opinion. And since he's been to Sunderland, I knew he'd score goals when he went to Sunderland. I just knew he would. I think we all did because he's got the ability and he's got the work rate.
You'd
as well.
Have Defoe over him for the World Cup.
Well, then. I probably would do. Yeah, they're slightly different players. I think Defoe's got that extra bit of quality. But Darren Bent. It's tough for Darren Bent. We've seen it before for England in the past with people like Andy Johnson, and they get a chance, and a lot of time they're either playing out of position or they're playing against a good team, and it's a friendly. So it's very difficult to make an impact, especially against Brazil, even if you are playing up front.
Look at the Nuge.
Is that the Nuge? Well, the Nuge took his chance.
100% right. He took Jermaine Defoe's chance.
Which makes it doubly good. Well, give him extra credit for that. But, you know, Bent's never going to get much for the ball, and he runs around, runs his socks off in a Bobby Zamora fashion for about 60 minutes, or a Nuge fashion, about 65 minutes or whatever it is. And I don't know if he'll go to the World Cup. It's a shame for him.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. But
he's just running out of chances at international level, isn't he?
James, you mentioned Arsene Wenger and talking about keeping his players' feet on the ground. Mm. Well, one man in that squad definitely has his feet on the ground. Emmanuel Boué, who says he wants to be the new Eddie Murphy.
Don't we all, Marcus?
I love how I can imagine him Boué doing that, because he has a sort of face where you can imagine him being in a film poster, and the sort of expression on his face would just say... That's every Eddie Murphy film has that expression.
It would work because I'm definitely finished with the old Eddie Murphy, so we're doing a new one. Actually, interesting fact about Eddie Murphy. Well, I'll tell you the fact and you can judge if it's interesting or not.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy is the highest earning Hollywood star of all time, cumulatively.
That is interesting.
Very odd.
You wouldn't think it'd be him. You wouldn't guess him, would you?
I would have gone for Sidney Poitier.
But he can maybe take that mantle over.
I think he's got it in his locker.
What happens to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, the fat Eddie Murphy? How does he sort of deal with it?
He's slumming it in some bit parts of some sitcoms, and he's been an extra at the moment.
But Boué did say, he said, I would like to be like Eddie Murphy, the comedian. I love to watch the movies, and I always say that after football I dreamed to be an actor. I say that all the time. It doesn't mean to say it's going to happen.
I would love to see that happen.
I would love to be an actor in Hollywood, and why not? I always try to make people happy. The boys can tell you why not, Emmanuel.
Well, he is good at play acting. So he's halfway there.
Yeah.
And he does make people happy in a way. Mostly other people, not Arsenal fans so much. But, bless him. I think that's a bit out of order, having to pop it.
I think he can do it.
He's becoming a sort of cult figure at Arsenal. You can see him make mistakes before he knows he's going to do it sometimes. but you know, he's a fairly likable chap in a way.
I was going to pillory him, but in the last sentence, I always try to make people happy. It actually warmed my heart a little bit.
We all know the thing about Gilberto's party, don't we?
Go on, tell us.
Right, what happened basically is Gilberto had a party. I think it was a New Year's Eve party, and it was just a normal party. You know, just a lot of the players were invited, and Emmanuel Boué turned up dressed as a tiger for no reason.
Were you there?
No. And apparently he hid behind a sofa and waited for Emmanuel Adebayor to come in and just sort of jumped out and went, it's mental.
Is that why Adebayor went to Man City?
Yeah. Because Boué just didn't stop doing it and it was getting really uncomfortable.
Gentlemen, D-Beck and the Los Angeles Galaxy have lost the MLS Cup final on penalties.
Gutting.
Yeah, I saw that.
Curse of England.
D-Beck did score his penalty, though.
Eldon missed his.
Landon Donovan, he was amongst those who missed.
He absolutely smashed it miles over the bar.
He should have bought them all dinner for that.
Yeah.
He did. The Mormons won. Salt Lake City took the cup.
Utah! Sorry.
Thank you very much. It's a shame, actually, for Galaxy, obviously, because this season they've been tenfold better than last season.
Oh, yeah, they were awful last season. Yeah,
it really has been.
It's because they got Bruce Arena.
Do you think maybe because Beckham's actually thought, I might start
playing. Trying.
Yeah. I've got to show Milan. I'm interested.
Yeah.
apparently, though, Beckham, he had three... he had three pain-killing injections on his ankle.
Because he was still
he said
struggling.
It wore off after 50 minutes.
Yeah, as the game went on, he definitely struggled. He was visibly limping.
Well, pain-killing injections, it always worries me, all that kind of talk.
It's not going to be good for him in the long term, I don't think.
Definitely not.
No. However, he may have a proverbial ace up his sleeve with the Milan fitness advisor, Jean-Pierre Merceman, because at Milan, I mean, we know that players like Maldini and Costa Curta have gone on past 40.
The Milan lab.
Yeah, well, he's saying, Jean-Pierre is saying that Beckham is in such great shape. Obviously, you know, if he doesn't get a major injury, but that's, you know, as clear as day, he could play until he's 40. He said, never mind this World Cup, 2014 as well.
Yeah, the detail they go into at the Milan lab
is incredible.
For medical and for medicals, and they sign players and to get the best out of players and sort of increase the length of their career is absolutely unbelievable.
Is it actually known as the Milan lab?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Do you know one of the first things I did for Beckham when he started playing from training with him? One of the first things that Mercer Man guy did, was fix a tiny hole in his tooth. And so it was affecting his posture, and so he wasn't running properly, which in long term would degrade his muscle.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's actually a player, I can't remember his name now, Sissoko, not Mono Sissoko, I think his name was Sissoko, who failed in medical because he had real bad problems with his teeth, and that's known long term to really affect your posture and your muscle growth and your bone structure, stuff like that.
That is incredible.
I mean, if Liverpool did that with Aquilani, I don't know how Aquilani passed in medical. I don't know how any English player passed it, because he does stuff like it, because he said, this is the same guy who earlier on in the summer after Maldini retired actually said, I advised Paolo Maldini he could play on for another two seasons, but he just didn't want to.
That is incredible. Maldini
and Costa Curta, I think, are his most famous exports. He's completely revolutionised of sort of the longevity of players' careers. Just, but he does stuff like, he says he monitors them so closely.
Yeah,
the milligrams of vitamins they intake.
That's right, he does. Yeah.
And he said he can. It's to the point. I mean, he's blowing his own trumpet a little bit. But
I think that's a trumpet worth blowing.
He said he can almost predict injuries before they happen. That's how he gets it.
That is super.
Yeah. Should have a look at Kanu.
I was going to say. I think he said to me that Kanu could play on until he's 50.
Yeah, too late. Kanu actually said that the other week. By the way, I've got to tell you boys this. Kanu said about 2 or 3 weeks ago, with a little bit of a nod.
I'm not 31.
With a little bit of a nod and a wink, and he was only joking. But there's a bit of a glint in his eye. He said, "I'm going to retire after the World Cup. I cannot play till I'm 50." That's a direct quote.
Wow. Well, actually, weirdly, we were talking about looking at his age on Wikipedia and not believing that it was 31, and that wasn't that long ago.
30. Yeah, but well, no, it's changed. Oh, yeah. It definitely says 31.
It now says 33 on Wikipedia, and we were talking about this 6 months ago.
That's true. That's true. That confused me as well when I saw that.
How does Wikipedia change?
Who changes it?
Well, yeah. No one. Kanu does. Clearly. No, but it's interesting. So I was asking, a friend of mine is Nigerian, and I was talking to her about Kanu, and I said, Kanu's in his early 30s. She went, oh, please.
Yeah.
You know, ridiculous.
And Marcus, please.
And she said, everybody messes around with age in Nigeria. She said, we all know that. She said, about 6 months ago, I found out my fiancé was 2 years older than what he said he was.
Is that, you're joking? Is that serious?
No, that's deadly serious. Because what happened was, when he was about, how old was he? He was a bit younger. He would have been mid-teens. He said he was older to kind of give himself a little bit more clout to get into a team, you know. Because, you know, if you're a sort of an under-18 side and you look at an under 15, 14-year-old, you think, But he said he was a touch older. And to get in, and so a lot of people have a football age and a normal age, I suppose.
It's like showbiz age.
Well, he says that he has to. He says sometimes he struggles to remember which one is which. He said, but as long as you're consistent with one of them, then people will believe it.
Well, it's interesting because we had an email in from a guy called Kieran who said that his theory on it is that a lot of babies in that part of the world aren't actually born in hospitals.
Yeah. That's right.
So
their age isn't registered at birth, and by the time they have to register their child's age for school, they may actually be 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But they say they're 4 or 5, so they can get into a school and they register as being 4 or 5 years old, and that obviously knocks on to them in later life. He just said, I'll just pass on that info. I thought the Ramble Force might like to know. So thanks for that, Kieran.
I read about this, I think it's Rwandan, this rapper who's done really, really well in Africa. He's a big, big name. He doesn't know how old he is.
Yeah.
He's trying to find out. It's nuts.
We had an email from Emmanuel Tato, and he said that Roger Miller, talking about the profile we did on Cameroon and Roger Miller the other week, he said that he was African Footballer of the Year in 1976, and at that time he'd already been playing for Tonnerre, one of the Cameroonian sides, for 11 years. And some people think he was 29. In 1976.
So in
94, he would have been closer to 48.
Amazing.
Give him credit. It's unbelievable stuff.
Can you imagine? I just think this only adds to them.
Yeah.
In Croatia, some of you may have seen this story about a goalkeeper called Ivan Banovic. He was booked after he rescued a pitch-invading cat during a match in Croatia in the top flight there. Yeah. Apparently the cat strayed onto the pitch 20 minutes into the match, and he picked it up and he put it safely by the side of the pitch, and he was booked, and media reports and said that the fans were really annoyed that he got booked for.
Why do you think he rescued the cat? Was he feline generous?
Oh dear.
Come on,
you just whispered to me, I've got a really good pun. You lied to me.
Come on. What have you got?
I'm just kind of trying to figure out how old Kanu is in cat years, to be honest. I reckon I'm 80.
Probably he is a cat. I would not put it past him.
The devious.
And I'm a grand.
What was the keeper meant to do, though, really?
He got booked for that. I mean, what's he going to do? Is that the cat carrying
on? No, because he left the pitch.
Oh, come
permission.
On, that's a bit harsh,
what did he want to do? Just slam dunk it into the crowd?
Yeah.
Drop kick it.
It would have landed on its feet. So
yeah. Right. Oh! Good one. The referee should have just taken time to think about it, paused for thought.
Hey!
It's not very fair, is
you,
it?
You get 10 out of 10 for that. Yeah.
Punt the lot of you.
Emails!
Yes, it is the email section proper. Because we've had a couple before, but now we're going to dive in.
We're mavericks today, aren't we?
To the electronic.
We're breaking
pop.
Our own rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're there to be broken, yeah. James.
Ask Thierry Henry.
Oh, naughty. But nice. James, you go first.
It's on that subject, funnily enough. Hello, Rambleforce. I'm Irish but live in Australia, and I dislike Thierry Henry now for obvious reasons. The reason I'm mailing you is when the away leg of the game kicked off, the local time here was 4 a.m. I had my alarm set to watch the game. Come 4 in the morning, I was groggy as fuck, but got up to support the cause. I felt something special would happen in the game, and when Keane scored first, I was getting confident of a result. Come half-time, I dozed off. And had a nice little dream about us winning 3-0. I woke on the sofa a few hours later and was well chuffed. I rushed around getting ready for work, and whilst in the shower, I couldn't remember who else scored. Being late for work, I had to jump in my car, still unaware of the resulting hand of frog, and couldn't check the worldly web till I got to work half an hour later. I was pissed. Still am. So, we're not partaking in another cup. I'll try not to let it hamper my enjoyment next year. Could anyone tell me the name of that witch doctor that put a curse on Ronaldo?
Steve.
That's Kevin from Perth.
Michelle Patterman.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I know what you mean, because I'm quite a deep sleeper, and I sometimes go through watching games late at night. It happened a bit with the Argentina-Uruguay game.
Mm.
Where you sort of...
You thought it was a
no,
good
no,
game.
That was all... Oh, I thought you meant the Argentina-Peru game. No, yeah, that was all really happening.
No, the Uruguay one was the one really late, and I kept dreaming that things had happened, and I woke up and that didn't actually happen. So, yeah, I understand what you mean.
That's gutting. We're absolutely gutting. Mm. Lukey.
Greetings, Ramble Force.
Hello. Hi,
That was very civilised. Mm. Just wanted to let you know that I love the show, and as an English football coach making his living in Los Angeles, it keeps me sane when I'm surrounded with people who know fuck all about the game.
Deepak's there.
I'm surrounded
it's
by
like
them
in the studio, isn't it?
Anyway, a couple of shows ago, you were talking about Fergie's son, and you mentioned the incomparable Barry Fry.
Barry Fry.
And I wanted to tell you about my own memories of the great man. This is a bit of an ongoing thing.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. So anyway, I was a young 8-year-old down the local pub, my granddad, says Andy, when Barry Fry was there raising money for a local charity. Barry was the manager of Birmingham City at the time, and I supported fierce local rivals Aston Villa. However, my dad was a Blues fan, and I wanted to get him Barry's autograph. I walked up to Mr. Fry with my hand deceptively covering the Villa badge on my shirt and asked for his autograph. However, Barry noticed my cover-up act straight away, and he saw the Villa shirt and said to me, "Now, son, never be ashamed to show you support for your team. Just be ready to take the shit that comes with it." This is an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah. Which I'm about to give you.
Yeah, my 8-year-old eyes widened with shock. I went home, gave the autograph to my dad, told him what Barry had said, and got sent to my room by my mum for swearing.
Brilliant.
Cheers, Barry. Keep up the good work, Andy.
As he was getting marched up, he was like, "Oh, I was quoting someone else."
The incomparable Barry Fry, everyone.
Oh, what a character.
That's, we should have an ongoing thing about Barry.
Yeah, well, I think it's happening already, isn't it?
Sort of is, yeah. It's been forced upon us.
Wishes.
poor man's Harry Redknapp.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Pete, it's your turn.
Hey, what's going on, Pete? this is from a young man by the name of Alex Mellors, who's a Forest fan, exclamation mark, he says, as if that's... the
surprising.
Weirdest thing
we
in the world.
Them.
Surprise me.
Ramble Force, ho! Dear Ramble Force, I'm writing today because I'm very concerned about the state of the modern game. I'm not concerned about cheating, video evidence or grassroots football. I'm concerned about the death of a very important part of the game, the goal celebration.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah, I see where he's coming from there.
This problem is especially evident at the highest levels of football, the Premiership, the Champions League and international football. I don't know if players have just fallen out of love with the game a bit, but celebrations seem to be dying down. We're now only left with the obvious Drogba celebration or the Ashavin shh.
Oh yeah, that's rubbish, that one.
That should be called the Ashavin.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. Not since Bruno Corradi left the Premiership have we seen a truly innovative celebration arrangement. The Championship and below do occasionally try something a little bit different, but it lacks the class and drama of the Premier League.
Snob.
I think the players need to take a long hard look at themselves and make sure that goal celebrations don't become a thing of the past. Even Robbie Keane doesn't celebrate goals anymore.
He doesn't.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a rubbish celebration.
Yeah, properly annoying.
What is the world coming to? Some recent Premiership favourite celebrations. Bruno Corradi knighting Joey Barton, I think it was. Lou Alois flips. Henri, after scoring a free kick against Wigan, looking into the camera and saying, is that okay?
Very modern one, that.
Really
one.
French, that one.
Yeah.
And Henrik Pedersen, the peacock celebration. Which I'm unfamiliar with.
Karate did a couple that were really good. He did a Street Fighter one as well, where
did he
sort of Hadouken'd a few people.
Yeah, like
a Japanese player did it better, because like, I think like quite a few players lined up and he did it to loads of them and they all fell over.
Yeah.
Football Asia is mental. I'd advise anyone to watch it.
Yeah. I saw one in the lower leagues, I think it was at the weekend, I can't remember what team it was, but they ran over to the corner flag and one of them picked it up. And they all did around it and made it into a bench press. And he started bench pressing the corner.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
I'm not sure we got booked, but it's very good. But it's a good point.
It's weird because I think it's Pepsi or Coke, or one of the big manufacturers of fizzy pop. They're setting up it was in Private Eye a couple of weeks ago, that they're setting up like a website for you to vote for the favourite goal celebrations from the forthcoming World Cup. But you can see this sort of PR and advertising machine sort of gearing up for the World Cup and stuff. But... they were sort of, probably, I was sort of saying, yeah, well, that directly contravenes the laws of the game, because you're not allowed to spend over
celebrating. You get over elaborate with it, yeah.
Mm. But Pepsi or Coke, I'm not really sure, are official sponsors of the World Cup next year. But it's weird.
I think the problem is that you get booked now. So I think players do get a little bit confused as to what they can do and what they can't do. They can't incite the crowd. They can't take the shirt off. They can't leave the pitch. So it does limit them a little bit. I mean, these days, I'm not sure if you boys have noticed, but the celebration seems to consist of, if it's an important goal, they dive on the floor and everyone dives on top of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, they'll just run away, leave me alone.
Knee slides are big.
Knee slides are quite big.
Yeah. Kissing the badge is all too familiar.
Oh, I'm not having that.
Not
that.
Emmanuel Adebayor had a memorable celebration.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, act like a prick. That's a big one.
Run 80 yards to act like a prick. Don't even just do it where you're standing. Actually make an effort. Commute to a position to act like a prick.
Ian Wright used to have some good celebrations.
He did the old just done it, didn't he? The old Nike one with the...
He did it a goal too early.
Sponsored historical moment. He did actually, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Too early. No, he used to have some quite good ones, Ian Wright. I remember he was a little bit more creative.
Well, you could be back then, couldn't you, in the old seat of your days?
Yeah.
All right, Marcus, so who is the champ man goodie bag going to?
I'm going to give it to Alex Mellows.
What, for the old celebration?
Yeah, because I feel his pain and concern.
What, for being a Forest fan?
Well,
it was the way I read it, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I deserve a production credit on that line.
Alex should donate half the Champ Man goodie bag to Pete for actually giving him the best chance of winning.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's profile time.
Woo!
And this week, it is not a footballer. It's not even a team. It's an award.
Ooh!
May I present to you the glorious... European Golden Boot.
Oh, he's actually got it. It's on a cushion. It's amazing.
Won it back.
You sprayed a trainer there, haven't you?
No, he borrowed it off Fallout.
Or the European Golden Shoe.
Hmm. That's what it used to be called, right?
It was called the European Golden Boot. Now it's called the European Golden Shoe.
Oh, okay, Okay.
I prefer the old one.
Well, because they play
in boots.
No, I quite like the shoe. It sounds much more classy. It's a bit like it's got a bit of Cinderella about it, isn't it?
Well, I see what you mean.
I think it should be called the European Golden Slipper.
The European Golden High Heel.
If you come second, you get the Golden Sock.
Nice. Yeah. So the Silver Sock.
Should we get on with it?
Yeah.
It's an idea. It is an Association Football Award which is presented to the top goal scorer, and that's in league matches, goal scored in league matches. And it's contested between every player who plays in the top division of every European National League. And it began in 1967.
Summer of Love.
Oh. Bang on.
Is that why you've chosen this?
I don't... Do you know what? I didn't realise that.
Well, it would have been awarded in 68, presumably.
It was 67-68 season, but it started, therefore,
yeah,
in 67.
Great. Super stuff.
Maybe coming out of the Summer of Love.
It would have been, yeah. Maybe it was done a celebration of the Summer of Love. I'd like to think so.
Well, Eusebio certainly thought so, because he lapped it up and he won the first one.
That's
already in there.
Hard act to follow. Hard act to follow.
The award was given by L'Equipe magazine. It was given to the top goal scorer. It was regardless what league it was. Now it's the rules have slightly changed, but whoever scored the most, as I say, Eusebio won the first one. But if you were the top goal scorer, as we'll go through one or two of them in, say, Cyprus or Romania, that you got it. You know,
you can see why they changed that.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Earnshaw would have won it if they'd kept that going on. Someone like that.
Eusebio won it twice. Hall of Famer, of course. Gerd Müller won it twice, as you can imagine.
Another Hall of Famer.
Dudu Georgescu from Romania, he won it twice. And Fernando Gomez from Portugal won it twice, too. The only Argentinian ever to have won it is Hector Yazalde, and who was playing for Sporting CP in the Portuguese League. The only Argentinians have won this award. And as a prize for the European Golden Shoe, he received a Toyota car, which he sold and shared the money with his teammates.
Awesome.
Isn't it just? He scored 100 in his time for Sporting CP. He scored 104 league goals in 104 games.
Bloody hell.
He's got a bit of Samuel Eto'o about him then, because Eto'o keeps giving presents and prize to all his mates in Cameroon,
doesn't he? Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he gave him all a watch for qualifying for the World Cup.
Was that Premier brand back in the day? The old
Toyota.
The old Toyota.
Must have been, yeah.
It must have been. Ferrari. Yes, another interesting winner was a Cypriot called Sotiris Kayafas, who played for AC Ammonia Nicosia, and obviously the only Cypriot to win the Gold Boot. But he was quite a player in the Cypriot League. He was top scorer in seven seasons and scored nearly 300 league goals. God. And he said that winning the Golden Boot was the happiest day of his life.
Yeah, that's outrageous. It must be incredible. Yeah.
He never played outside Cypress, this guy. You know, he put his self in the history books. Hans Krankl from Austria, a big player, he won it 1 year. Wim Keefe in Holland. Ian Rush, I remember. In 83-84. Ian Rush became the first Brit and certainly the first Welshman, because another Welshman has won it. We'll move on to him later. Marco van Basten, Hall of Famer. Tony Polster.
I remember him, yeah. Mullet, great mullet.
That's right, yeah. Hugo Sanchez, 89-90. Haristo Stoichkov, that was when he was playing for CSKA Sofia.
Oh, yeah.
You see? And Darko Panchev.
Oh, I remember Darko, but Yugoslavian.
He was, yeah. Well, he was originally from Macedonia.
He scored an absolute beauty in the World Cup in 1990.
And now he only got his award... He only received his Golden Boot in 2006.
Why?
15 years after winning it. And that was when he scored 34 goals in the 1990 to 1991 season. He was denied the award because at the time, the Cypriot FA was saying, no, one of our players, a player in one of our leagues, scored 40 goals. He should get it. And it was a massive controversy because I think the two top scorers in that... Yeah, only scored like sort of 19, 20 goals. It was almost like they were trying to shamelessly pinch the award.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Yeah, so it's very, very odd. So
it's probably the only bit of credit they got, Cyprus, to be fair to them. So.
Well, since Kafaris.
Oh, yeah, cool. You know. Yeah.
They won it back.
That's it, yeah. So eventually in 2006, Michel Platini presented Darko Panchev the award. So that the European Golden Boot actually stopped kind of then in its original form. Because of this controversies. But between 91 and 96, Adidas continued to present the award. And in that time, Ali McCoist won the award back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was an absolute goal machine.
He was.
He was, yeah, yeah. That's the first time a Scotsman had won the award. And, as I say, he repeated a year later. And that was despite breaking his leg against Portugal for Scotland in April. And he missed the last seven matches of the season. Wow. Still was on top.
It's like the old boy owned Marco Negri at Rangers when he did that. Yeah. He missed half a season and he's still top scorer, wasn't he?
He was incredible. Yeah, he scored 31 goals in, I think,
by Christmas or something.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then after McCoist, David Taylor, who played in the Welsh League, he won it, 43 goals. And a year later, from the Georgian League, Zviad Endelatse, he won it with 40 goals that season.
I don't want to be elitist.
I think you can be.
I think you're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you can't... I know it gives a bit of credit, without being patronised, it gives a bit of credit to players who play in sort of less than prominent leagues, but you can't be having European golden boots going to sort of Welsh league players and stuff.
Portman the dog.
Yeah, no disrespect.
That's his club.
Portman. Yeah. Well, exactly. In that period, okay, McCoist was a good player, and David Taylor and the other two, whose names I won't try and pronounce again. I think that was when, as I say, Adidas were presenting the award, and I think that was when people were having a bit of a rethink on how this award should be won. So in 1996, the European sports magazines have awarded the European Golden Shoe based on a point system, of course, that allows players to win in tough, who are playing in tougher leagues, even if they score fewer goals than players in the weaker league.
Isn't like a Scottish league only worth like half a point now?
You know, the leagues are divided into three groups according to strength, and attached to each group is a quotient by which the number of goals is multiplied to obtain the player's rating. Mm. And it's to do with the UEFA rankings on each league, results of the league clubs in European competitions over the previous five seasons. So goals scored in the top five leagues, according to UEFA lists, are multiplied by two. Goals scored in the leagues ranked 6 to 21 are multiplied by 1.5. So, you know, a goal in Serie A is going to be more than a goal in the Armenian League.
Yeah, of course.
Clearly. So with that in mind...
It's good to don't apply those to games. You'd have like some crazy scores.
Well, with that in mind, who pops up to win the first golden boot of the new ilk?
What year?
96-97.
Henrik Larsson?
No. Ronaldo.
Oh, of course it is. The real Ronaldo.
That's right, yeah. A year later, Nikos Machlas, playing in the Dutch league, the Greek player, he won it. And then we have Mario Jardel.
Jardel used to score so many headers, it was unbelievable.
He was a great player.
He's in the Portuguese league, wasn't he?
He was so close to signing for Rangers.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he pretty much was
He went to Bolton for a bit, didn't he? Right at the end of his career.
He was fat.
He was a bit fat there. In 1999-2000, Kevin Phillips won it.
Of course, yeah, he scored loads in that season, didn't he?
That's right, 30 goals. In the same season, Mario Jardel scored 38 goals. But because of the points...
Portuguese league don't count as much.
Exactly. Mm. Phillips won it. A year later, Henrik Larsson of Celtic, of course, won it.
That's a real achievement.
It's an incredible achievement, that is.
They should give more points for like the type of goal it is as well. If it's an amazing like left foot overhead kick, you get, like, 4 points. Whereas if it's just, like, a tap-in, you only get, like, half a point.
Your boy got, like, 3 golden boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than he genuinely needs to wear.
Well, Henrik Larsson just pipped Hernan Crespo. Crespo had 52 points, but Larsson had 52.5. Ooh. So he became the first player from the Scottish League since McCoist to have won it there. Henri has won it. Roy Mackay from the Holland.
Oh, I remember Roy Mackay,
Diego Forlán's won it twice, most recently as well.
Yeah, Diego Forlán's been carrying Atletico Madrid for the last 2 years.
Well, he is actually the current holder. 32 goals and 33 appearances. And he also equaled Prudencio Sanchez's 1940-41 club record, that was, for Atletico Madrid. So I drop a little bit of extra knowledge in there.
One, yeah.
Diego Forlán as well was the first player to score 30 league goals or more in a La Liga season since Ronaldo scored 34 in the 97 season when he won the golden
for
himself. And and Samuel Eto'o finished second in La Liga scoring records and for the European golden.
They were having like a shootout towards the end of that season.
It was getting really
sort of intense.
Absolutely, and Luca Toni also won it recently. Francesco Totti won it as well.
He might win it this year.
Well, he's doing very well, but it's incredible, really, because the previous year Totti won the European Golden Boot. He'd had a real bad injury on his ankle, and everyone had written him off. And he said, a year ago, everyone was writing me off, saying that I was finished and I'm only in the national team on reputation, but the criticism brought me luck because now I went on to win the World Cup and became top goal scorer and won the Coppa Italia and the Golden Shoe. What's more, I've won the Golden Shoe on the 17th of June, exactly 6 years after winning the Scudetto with Roma. It was meant to be.
Not like he's looking too much into it.
No.
I don't want to have a pop-up Totti because he's a superb footballer. I know they play a slightly different formation for the national side, but he's never been prolific for Italy.
No, he hasn't.
No.
Actually, I don't think he will win it this year, the Golden Boot, because sure. Because he's a lot of his goals have come in Europe, I think.
Sure, and also we must mention that Cristiano Ronaldo, just before Forlan won it, the latest time, he won it as well with 31 goals. So
that's equaling a 38 game season Premier League record as well with Alan Shearer. That
well, and since this the new point system came about, actually it was in 98-99 that Mario Jardel with 72 points is the highest points tally. So far, and that's in the Portuguese league. So a wonderful achievement there.
Yeah, definitely.
That was with
30. Who do we think is going to win it this season? Then who are we going for?
Well, the Nuge, perhaps.
Without being funny, you know, Jermaine Defoe.
He's got a shout. 11 already.
I'd be surprised if he kept it up.
Well, I mean, when Ronaldo gets fit again, he's flying. He's got tons of goals already. So you know, he's always going to be a candidate.
I'd like to see Zlatan win it.
That would be nice.
I would as well.
Yeah.
That would destroy the near Thiv.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't. Nothing will. They just will not have it, will they?
I'd quite like to sort of have like a golden boot, like a left boot and a right boot for strike partners. That'd be really good. But you'd have to choose which one that the teams would want to put through, I guess.
And maybe a golden headband for the person who scored the most headers.
Mm. Yeah. Golden gloves for the most clean sheets.
You get golden gloves already.
And these players should have to wear golden things in the next season.
This has all gone mental.
Like the yellow jersey in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
The golden jersey.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, it would be completely weird.
Well, in comes European Golden Boot / Shoe. Does the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Now, who do you fancy it in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame to take that? There was a lot of competition.
Surely Bishkan's going to...
Yusebo's already won it.
Maybe we can kick it at D-back like Alex Ferguson did.
D-back's not in there. He's not in there.
Pele's in there through the cosmos. He could be up there.
Do you know who I think?
Who?
Matthew Letizia.
Call back.
I know, Windass himself.
Windass, there you go. There you talk. Windass and Dublin can share it.
Because Windass will just keep on playing. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for another week. It's been lovely having you. Luke, I believe you got a notice.
Yeah, I just wanted to update some people about them Christmas drinks, because that's become a little bit more official now. Now so many people said they wanted to come, which is great. It's going to be at the King's Arms, which is 27 Wormwood Street, London, EC2M for Mother, 1RP. The nearest tube is Liverpool Street. It's going to be starting at 3 p.m. and we'll watch a bit of football, we'll have a few drinks, a few little competitions, there'll be chances to win some stuff. It'll be going on to 11 p.m. but I do need to say that the bar only has a certain amount of capacity, obviously. Now, quite a lot of people have said they want to come, so I can't stress this enough, if you're coming from a long way away, you really need to come early. I don't want people to be disappointed, none of us do. I'm sure it won't be as busy as we think, but if it is, we don't want people to miss out, so do make it as early as you can. And if you want to pop in and pop out and chance your arm, that's fine, you can do that, and hopefully you'll be able to come along as well. Now, the other thing we've got to say is that it's, unfortunately, due to licensing laws by the government, which has nothing to do with us...
Boom!
People are emailing and complaining about that. You have to be 18 to go into drink in the pub. You have to be 18 at least to come. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just the way it is. We wouldn't condone anyone under the age of 18 coming along, unfortunately. But hopefully we'll see you there.
James?
Yes, if you would like to buy yourself a Dean Windass Hall of Fame T-shirt, you can do so by clicking on the banner on the top of our website, which will take you to Cult Zeros, where you can get all kinds of fun. Yeah. So, yeah. Be great for Christmas.
I will do. Pete?
And yeah, if you've got any gambling to do, go to betway.com/thefootballramble. Just do all your betting there. Do all your Christmas betting.
Thinking of buying your dad a bet for Christmas?
A cheeky round robin or a Heinz 57 bets. I used to work in a betting shop.
Oh.
A mate of mine used to work in a betting shop, and he once put in the window Middlesbrough 6, Everton 3, Frank Rodrew to score first. He tied up the odds and put that in the window.
How much was it?
Oh, Christ.
A billion.
Attractive odds, I imagine. Yeah.
Not as good as the odds at betway.com, though.
Marvellous. Say goodbye, Luke.
I'm in the middle of drinking a bit of water, but goodbye.
Say goodbye, James and Jim.
Bye!
And say goodbye, Pete.
Huh. Bye.
We're all off to be the new Eddie Murphy.
Thank you.
I was trying desperately thinking of puns of Eddie Murphy.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah.
A buoy or a meringue? A buoy or a mang?
Buoy meringue, yeah. A buoy meringue's excellent, but it makes me think of meringue. Yeah. So if it's written down, it'll work.
Good, let's write it down.
What about, Coming to America?
The Nutty Defender?
That's a better
the
one.
The Nutty Defender, yeah. What about, Trading careers?
Places with the right back.
Trading fullbacks.
Yeah.
These are terrible.
Yeah.
Dr. Doolittle in the centre of the fence.
Oh!
Dr. Doolittle at the back. That's such promise as well. It's worse than Fernando Porridge.
Nothing's as worse.
It's worse than Hand Chinagore of Hesselim.
What? Chin what?
It's footballers who are parts of the body.
Right.
Jan Venegor of Hesselink.
Hand Chin.
Hand Chinagor of Hesselim.
Should we get on with this?
Bruce Gobelar.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's
Thank
a good
you.
One. You had hands back as well. That's a good one.
Well, that's already done.
Yeah.
But he's not a footballer, though.
He's got to do anything.
But he's been involved within the game.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer.
Diego Maradona kebab.
Do you hear that? Alan Shearer.
Diego Maradona kebab, anyone?
Not part of the body.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.